To the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, it's on page 1198 in the Bibles in the chairs. And as we mentioned last Sunday, that we're kind of trying to provide sort of bookends to Vacation Bible School, last week giving us confidence in telling the message of Jesus, and today sort of following through the logical conclusions of sharing the stories of Jesus and what happens when we share the blessings of Jesus through Bible stories. So let's pray and then we'll read God's Word. Father, we thank you for opportunities of service that draw us to your Word. We thank you for times of great dependence upon you for the activity of your Spirit. We've seen that in Vacation Bible School, and we experience that every Sunday. And now we realize that we are fully and completely dependent upon your Spirit to lead us into the truth of your Word. So we pray that you would fill us, that the same Spirit that moved among the Apostle Paul and caused him to write your Word in this particular letter would be the Spirit that would fill us and open our hearts and our minds and lead us into the truth of your Word. We pray for that blessing of your grace. We pray that you would bring honor and glory to your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 5, we're going to refer back to some parts of chapter 4, but we're just going to read Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This much that we'll read from God's Word, and I invite you to keep your Bibles open. I also invite you to find the outline in your worship folder. I don't know how many times we've already talked about it and how many times we have referred to Vacation Bible School in this worship service or in just the last few days in our prayers and in our thoughts. And we have been focused as a congregation almost single-mindedly on Vacation Bible School. It's consumed a great part of our effort, our energy. A lot of preparation has gone in. And we all participate in the hope that we will tell the stories of God's Word. And that's part of the selection, that we look for a curriculum that will tell the stories of Jesus, and we will communicate faithfully God's Word in the times of coming together. And there are a lot of wonderful curricula, great, you know, times of fun in almost all of them. Some of them have, you know, real catchy lyrics and activities and seek to draw just in their fanfare. And there are some that really focus on telling the Bible stories. It was our hope this year that that we would have a curriculum that would bring those stories to the foreground, and that we would tell the stories of Jesus. And it might be asked at this point if it's all worth it. And, you know, we look in a sense to see why do we do this and what motivates us just in the telling. And I think that we do so in New Hope every year as part of our own renewed commitment to Jesus Christ. That we have experienced the blessings of Jesus and we have experienced the joy of community. And so this becomes one time that we can bring together community and stories. And we do it in a great way. And the Lord's blessed us that we've been very successful, quite competent in doing so. Creating artistic sets, coming up with ideas to supplement the curriculum that we've chosen, and then focusing just on telling the stories of Jesus. And why so much on these stories? Well, that's what we want to consider today, just the simple blessings of the stories of Jesus. And we want to recognize, first of all, that just hearing the stories produces faith. And that faith now begins to affirm among us the blessings of Christ and His justification. And justification produces peace. So when we tell the stories of Jesus in Vacation Bible School, when we tell the stories of Jesus in the context of our lives, God's Spirit begins an incredible process through His Word to bring people to great peace. So let's look at this. First of all, that hearing produces faith. And faith, says the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, that faith comes by hearing, and that through the Word of Christ. And if we would look at the context and what the apostle is talking about in chapter 10, he's talking about his own preaching and the preaching of all of those that make known the wonders of Jesus. He talks about everyone being connected in sin. And in verse 13, that there's a blessing for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, well, how are they going to call on Him whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? And so there has to be a whole process of the church providing the opportunity, providing the call, releasing individuals for very service. And then, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And for those of you of New Hope, this connects us with something that we've been studying recently, and you may remember when we were looking at the book of Jude, and we heard Jude say, Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And we talked about faith being delivered, not something within our own lives that is created, but it's something that God brings and He delivers as a gift. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 1 of Romans, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish, to preach the gospel to you also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That it is in the very preaching of the gospel, in the telling of the story, that it moves from an activity of God-delivered faith into a response of personal faith. And so we hear this message that just the telling is so significant, that in the telling of the stories, God's Spirit connects, and God's Spirit makes that story resonate deep within. Chip talked this morning in adult Sunday school about the inner testimony of the Spirit. And that in their testimony of the Spirit, that the Spirit bears witness with what He's written, that it's true, that the Spirit is active, and that inner testimony of the Spirit is that beginning part of the delivery of His gift of faith. That it's building up, it's a planting of a seed, and it is God's Word that is igniting all that activity, and it's giving the Spirit something to work with, that the Word preached, the Word told in the stories of the Bible, especially the Word of Christ, is the Word that produces faith. Well, secondly, then, faith receives Christ and justification. If we were going to balance the outline, because you see we're using the word produce, if we were going to balance the outline, we would say faith produces justification. And there are many times in human history when it wouldn't cause anyone to blink to think of faith producing justification. It seems like we're entering a new period in our day, that faith is some inner quality, faith is some personal possession, and that faith produces all kinds of activities. And so today, if you were to say to Christians, not unbelievers, but if you were to say to Christians by and large that faith produces justification, they would agree with you, and they'd say that they're united even in the Reformation fact and truth of justification by faith alone. And yet, what is faith that it can produce? Isn't faith a gift that is delivered? Isn't faith something that comes from the Father that is given to us? And notice the way the apostle speaks about Abraham and his faith in Romans 4, verses 13 to 17. We looked at this last week. But to pick up another angle from what we noticed last week, that faith is the opposite of law, verse 13. Faith is connected to promise, and it rests on grace that it might be a gift. Faith is Abraham's response to the promise of God. It's hearing with his heart or his inner being. It's that inner testimonium sanctum, that inner testimony of the Spirit. God said, you remember, God said to Abraham, come outside and take a look at the stars. So shall your offspring be. And Abraham goes outside and he says, oh, okay. Now, what is he doing? Is he thinking that he is going to produce such great numbers? That he, in his body, is nearly gone and Sarah is reproductively dead? That's what the Scripture says. He looks at the number of stars and he hears what God says, and it's in response to that hearing, and he knows that God has to do it. If he is going to have offspring to equal the number of the stars, he knows that God has to do a work. And so he says, oh, okay, God is going to do that work. And that's what happens when we hear Bible stories about Jesus. We hear the stories deep in our heart, and we say, oh, God is at work. And it produces faith. And that faith resonates that God is producing something else within us. And we're not talking about just knowing that there was a man Jesus, which is also true. And we can prove the truth of Jesus through all sorts of historic sources. In fact, there is more proof for the man Jesus than there is proof for Julius Caesar and for the Caesar Augustus, who was the emperor at the time Jesus was born. there's all kinds of proof for the historic Jesus. We prove Jesus from Roman sources. But we're talking about an inner hearing about Jesus. That we hear the stories of Jesus as a shepherd. And we hear the stories of Jesus as a shepherd looking for his lost sheep. That's one of the stories of this week. And we know that Jesus, the shepherd, found us. That Jesus, the shepherd, called us. That Jesus, the shepherd, snatched us out of the briars in which we were entangled. And if you want to follow the allegory, that the little curly woolies of our life had gotten ensnared in all kinds of things. And we couldn't go to him. But he found us and he brought us to himself and he brought us to the fold of the Father. Or if you want to carry out the allegory even further, that we're not caught in the snarls, we're just enjoying the pasture. And we're enjoying the wonders. And John Calvin talks about that, that there are sheep that have complete wanderlust. It seems like they just exist to stray. And some of you with some agricultural background, you know cows like that, you know sheep like that. It's like the only thing they exist for is getting out. And how many times you repair the pen, and you think, there, I got him. And you go out the next morning, that rascal is still getting out. Just a wanderlust. And they don't care. They don't even go anywhere. They might stand right on the other side of the fence. It's just, you know, a game to say, nah, I can get out. And there's a sense in our lives, though, where we just follow what is pleasant. We follow the basic desires and we may hear a voice. We may have even an inner movement within us to say, we should go home. We should go to the security, but we just continue to follow the end of our nose and seek what's there. And we're interested in what we're interested in. And all of a sudden, the shepherd grabs us. Maybe the crook of the staff, and he brings us into the fold, securely to the Father. We hear about Jesus, and we know that we're found by him. We know that in that story, we were the sheep. He was the seeker, and we're kept safe by him. So faith is more like hearing than it is by creating or doing or producing. In fact, the Apostle Paul also talks about faith as if it were the acoustics of a building. That faith is hearing that which God the Father intends for us to hear. And so he says to the Galatians, did you come to know God by works of the law? Did you come to know God by something you did? Or did you come to know God by the acoustics of faith? Did you stay in fellowship with God by the things you do? Or do you stay in fellowship with God by the acoustics of faith? It's by the hearing of the Word of God that we are brought to God. It's that hearing in a fellowship with a whole room of people, and we hear the voice and somebody right next to us doesn't hear the voice. The acoustics of faith touches our lives. And we hear the stories of Jesus. And we hear the stories that Jesus died on the cross to satisfy God's wrath against sin. And we say, my sin. For my sin, he died. We know it's true because we've been given faith. It has been delivered, and it is now beginning to create that recognition that we know that Christ is all in all for us. that we have faith in the resurrected Christ and not just in the dying Christ. And that's the point of Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25 that we focused on last week. The words to Abraham were not written for Abraham's sake only, but for ours also, the apostle says. It will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The very stories about Jesus in the Bible are parallel to God taking Abraham outside to see the night sky. When we hear the stories, faith is delivered to us and we know that they're true. When we hear the stories, we know that God has to produce this activity because we are not faithful enough. That it has to be a work of God. And we know that Jesus is not just a baby in Bethlehem. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The eternal God humbled Himself to take on human flesh. That Jesus is God Almighty in human flesh to be our Savior. We hear the stories and we know that Jesus is the righteous one who died on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That Jesus was there on the cross for our sin. That Jesus rose from the dead and that in His resurrection we are raised to newness of life. That because Jesus has raised from the dead, because we have died in Him and we are raised in Him, we have opportunities for obedience and for service and for growing in His grace. The new life is active. The new life has anticipation. The new life has stimulation. And we hear the Word of God and we learn and we grow and we increase our activity because we are embracing life in the resurrection of Jesus. And we know that we are no longer slaves to sin, Romans 6, but now we actually become slaves to righteousness, enslaved in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and it becomes our desire to partake of that righteousness and to share in that righteousness, to grow in our own obedience, to be righteous. And faith sees the reality of God taking inventory. When God takes inventory and He sees us without Christ, He sees our sin, He sees our old self, and He sees that we need to be judged and we need to be prosecuted and we need to be condemned. But when God takes inventory and He sees us in Christ because of His work in delivering faith to us and purchasing us in the blood of the Lamb, the inventory looks like a righteous inventory because it is the righteousness of Christ that has been given to us. And the blessings of God do not fall short. The blessings of God achieve their full purpose and they produce a clothing of righteousness. And we hear the word of Jesus. And we know that we are cleansed. And we know that it is counted to us that the inventory shows us in right standing. And that gives us confidence in living our lives as forgiven ones. Faith holds the blessings of Christ, that we see Christ and we know that God has delivered and that God has planted it deep within our heart, and that which God has planted, God will cause to grow and God will bring to fulfillment. And the gift grows and we hold the truth of God's Word deep in us. In just a few verses after our text, we read Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." And we hear that righteousness of Christ is applied to us, so the inventory, the counting to us, is one of righteousness. In Christ, God Almighty convenes the heavenly court. In Christ, God Almighty slams down the gavel and he declares that the death of Christ is sufficient judgment for our sin. And then God Almighty slams down the gavel a second time and he declares that heavenly court is adjourned. Brothers and sisters, there's no double jeopardy. Not here on earth. We can't be tried for the same crime twice. And not in the heavenly court, because God says there's no need. There's no need to try you in judgment again. I have tried you in judgment, and I have found you to be righteous because you're in Christ. God will not open court and try us for our sins again. He has done that. And this means that God does not have a chip on his shoulder against us. And God is not looking at us with that wry little look to see if he can catch us again. Because he has applied to us the judgment of his court, and he has declared us to be justified, to be just as if I'd never sinned. So complete is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that if we are outside of Christ, we will be judged and we have nothing. But if we are in Christ, we have been judged and we have the blessings of the Father. He is satisfied. There's peace. And this justification produces peace. Look at verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified. The heavenly court has convened. And it's done. It's been adjourned. The case is over. The fact is announced. It's been published in writing. We have been justified by faith, and we understand that it was our connection with Christ that put everything into play, and that's what the apostle affirms, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because faith is never separated from Christ. And in the wonder of Scripture, interpreting Scripture, we hear the apostle affirming the same thing in verse 9. Where he says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We have been justified and we shall be delivered, that God has no wrath left for those who are in Christ. We see the blood of Christ as a gift of God for sinners, a loving gift. Look at verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God established the criteria for peace while we're still active sinners. And he called us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. That God has established his plan of righteousness in Jesus Christ before he did anything. And if God has determined that he shall save in Jesus Christ, then we have the confidence that telling the Bible stories puts everything into play, that faith comes by hearing, and that faith resonates that it's in Jesus. And in Jesus, we are justified. And we are saved from God's wrath. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24. We are justified by his grace as a gift. You see, we did not produce faith. We did not produce any action that brought justification. But the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That is to say, God says, I satisfy my wrath in Jesus Christ. And those that hear and know it to be true are hearing in the acoustics of faith. The Bible stories bring us to Christ, and they bring us a gift of redemption in Christ's blood. They bring us a gift of propitiation by Christ's blood. That is to say that this is the sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath. It's a gift to be received by faith, just like Abraham. To be taken outside and to say, look at all the stars. And now to be taken to the Scripture saying, look at the peace. And we say, oh, it's true. And God has to do it because we can't. And so we look at the opportunity for peace with God and we say, yeah, there it is. God's Word is true. God's purchase is true. God's activity is certain. And true faith shows us Christ and His propitiatory blood. True faith does not show us new cars. True faith does not show us boys in the womb. A friend of mine says, I just know it's a boy. I've been praying for a boy, and so I've just decided to believe that it's a boy. I decided to pray it's a girl. And then I thought, no, that's not kind. True faith does not show us boys in the womb. True faith does not show us God as a higher power. True faith does not show us a God who is equal to Jehovah or to Yahweh in a Jewish affirmation sense, or equal to Allah. True faith shows us Christ, and in Christ we are brought in God. That true faith brings us to God. Look at 1 Peter 1:21. Peter says, who through Him, Jesus Christ, through Him, you are believers in God. Literally, Peter says, who through faith you are in God. You have been brought into union with God through the precious blood of the Lamb. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, that God dwells in inapproachable light. God alone has immortality, and God dwells in unapproachable light, and no one can see Him. To Him belong honor and dominion. Because God dwells in unapproachable light, we need to be brought to God. And we are brought to God through the mediator, Jesus Christ. And Paul says in that same letter, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God. There's one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time, and for this I was appointed a preacher. I mean, you pick your letter. The apostle brings the same message all the time, that there is a proclamation of the word of Jesus' death, and that proclamation brings us to God, that we hear and we come to the blessings of faith. And we, point C, we rejoice in hope through faith. Again, we go back to Romans chapter 5, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that we rejoice in the hope of God's glory because we have a mediator, We have a ransom. We have a death. We have a propitiation that brings us to God. And in faith, we rejoice in hope to the point that we hope that our suffering is productive. Because we know that suffering produces endurance, hupomene, the second wind. And those that have been called to chronically suffer, it certainly does that, doesn't it? It produces endurance. Endurance produces character. It shapes us. The greatest struggle that I've had with chronic pain is the new personality. The changes that it brought deep in my core, and I didn't want to be changed. In a lot of ways, I didn't even like the person I was becoming. And yet Scripture speaks about producing a new character. Maybe one slightly less arrogant. Maybe one more understanding, more compassionate. You know the story, the one who could lay on the bed with Bill Campbell when he's dying saying, I've finally been given by God someone who really knows how I feel. Someone who prays with understanding, and so I am comforted. And my character is developed. And our character produces hope. That we hope that God will continue the promises of His Word. And that's not an empty hope. It is a certain hope. It is a hope that God is going to recreate and renew. And this hope is the hope of God, verse 5, that is poured into our hearts. It doesn't grow out of us. It becomes God pouring grace into our lives. In the same way He said to the apostle, I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient for you. Because hope is poured in. It's the hope of reconciliation, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so faith is more than assent. Faith is expectation. It is knowing that God is going to produce all that God says He's going to produce, and it's growing in that expectation. It's growing in that desire to be more tomorrow than we are today. To be more like Jesus because we've read His Word. To be more like Him because we've gathered in fellowship and we've heard His Word. To be more like Him because His Holy Spirit keeps working in the teachings of His Word. And in Christ we have hope because in Christ we believe. And in Christ we know God. Where He is not known apart from Christ. And it's hope that produces joy because there is no wrath. There is no more angst on God's part. There's just the love of a perfect Father telling us it's going to be all right. Fathers, you know the time when your children were troubled. You know the time when you took them and you held them close and you said, honey, it's going to be okay. And they knew it was going to be okay. And now the perfect Father says on the base of His action, on the base of His authority, my children, I love you and it's going to be okay. I am not mad anymore. You are not my enemies anymore. You are not estranged from me anymore. You're home. And the stories of Jesus, bring us home. They bring us home by letting us hear. And the hearing produces faith. Letting us recognize that, what we hear is Christ. And that in Christ we have righteousness. In Christ we have satisfaction. In Christ we have propitiation. In Christ we are justified. And since we are justified, there's no anger left. In Christ we may rejoice and have hope. It's all because of a Bible story that somebody told someplace in our history. And we grew up with it, many of us. And we lived in the church, many of us. And one day we heard one story that penetrated the core of our being. And one day we were brought to the awareness of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for our sin. And we were brought to the realization that we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb 2,000 years previous. Because God has equipped us with faith in the stories of His Word. And now that God gives us joy and hope and anticipation that He will do His work in His love and in His embrace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Oh, we thank You wholeheartedly for the blessings of Jesus Christ, that we may see Jesus and know Him. That we might recognize the sacrifice that satisfies Your wrath. That we might hear in our mind's ear the gavel of the heavenly court slamming down to declare that we are justified. And then to hear the gavel again to slam down and say, with a strong voice of authority, this court is adjourned. To know that You will never pick up the offense of our sin again. So complete is Your work in Jesus Christ that we shall be saved from Your wrath. That now we experience You, the loving Father, saying to us, it's going to be all right. I've got everything under control. I love You. Thank You, Father, for loving us in Jesus. Thank You for the expectation that You create within us because we know Jesus. And that we grow in that expectation that Your Word will continue to produce a hearing that transforms us. And that it will produce a true confession in a renewing sense that we take responsibility for our sin. And we grow in our awareness of our offense. All so that we may learn to not repeat it and to grow in the righteousness that has been obtained for us. So, Father, bless our growth. Bless us with Your Spirit that we will be encouraged and that we will be strengthened and that we will grow into maturity as men and women of faith that bring honor and glory to You as You continue that process. And forgive us for the times that we ought to be on stronger food and we're still craving the milk. create an appetite and a hunger for your word that will bring us to a whole new level of nourishment. And thank you, Father, for the blessings of the stories of Jesus that continue to feed us. And we thank you that we learn of Jesus in all of the Scripture so that we might know his death, that we might know his resurrection, that we might know the salvation that comes in the preaching of his name. Father, we thank you for the blessings of Jesus. And we bless your name in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together again.